Welcome to the weekly podcast from the Church of England. In this week's programme, we hear from the Bishop of Ely on why the Church of England is involved in character education. And as the Archbishop's 11 prepare to play the St. Peter's Cricket Club from the Vatican, I speak to the skipper to find out if they're feeling confident about the match at the weekend. But first, the Church of England has been meeting parents and families at the baby show. The Reverend Canon Dr. Sandra Miller explained why they were there.
Well, the baby show is a huge event. It has attracted 20,000 visitors, mostly expectant mums and families and sometimes their little children as well. And this is the first time we've ever exhibited at the baby show. But this year we're really going with one simple focus, which is to talk to people about the possibility and what it might mean to have their baby or child baptised at a christening.
And what's the importance of christenings?
For many parents in our research, we've discovered that thinking about your child, having a child, means you really think about them in a really holistic way. You think about them not just in how you bring them up in terms of their bodies, in terms of what they'll learn, but also who they are as spiritual people and the moral choices they will make going through life. There's also a sense for a lot of families that having a baby is really such an overwhelming thing that they want in some way to say thank you, and they want also to have a sense of real sense of blessing for their child. So coming to talk to the church to find out what's the best way of doing that and whether having a child baptised at the christening is indeed the right thing, it's really helpful to a lot of parents.
And how is the Church of England kind of helping people to understand all of this?
Well, we'll be at the baby show and we'll have a lot of vicars on our stand there to talk to people. We have some very simple information to give to them. We're also going to be giving people a little gift of a fridge magnet, which encourages them to pray for their child, asking for God's blessing on their child each day. And we'll be trying to explain to people just what happens at a baptism if they bring their child along. We'll have a font on the stand. We'll have a real sort of life-size baby doll that we can show people what actually happens. We'll be talking to them about our new website and encouraging them to ask their local vicar to see if it's something that would be appropriate for them.
How does the Church of England walk alongside people in all parts of life?
For many people, bringing their child to baptism might be the first time that they've come across the church, but for many others it will be part of a journey that they've been on throughout their life. Sometimes they will already have been married in church. Sometimes they may have had experience of church themselves in their early life. So we find that a lot of families have encountered the church through perhaps school or uniformed organisations, and they've so valued what happened there that they now want to experience that for their own child as they grow up. And of course, people also encounter the church through funerals at a time of loss, and the church is there for people at all these transitional moments in life. Alongside that, many people will also come along to a local church, sometimes just to sit in the space, perhaps light a candle and remember in prayer someone that they care about. And of course, many more will come to us at Christmas and see that as something that's really special for them as part of their family life. And the Church of England is there for people at all those different stages to celebrate the good times, to be there to support them in the difficult times through their life.
So could you tell us about a particular moment where someone's interacted with the Church of England through one of these special times?
Well, of course, there's many such times, and over the years I've met many families at all kinds of different points in their life. But just recently, I met a family who wanted to talk about having their baby baptised at a christening. And it was fascinating to talk to them. They were a young couple, and talking to them about why this was important to them. So talking with delight about times in a church youth group, but the one that stuck out for me particularly was the father of the baby talking about being in the Cubs and going to our local cathedral and the awe and wonder he felt as a child, as a boy, going into the cathedral and suddenly being aware of this incredible space and being aware of something beyond himself. And he said to me, I want my child to experience that too. And that's why it's a wonderful thing to meet families like that and then to welcome that child, to baptise that child and encourage that family to discover more of God's great love revealed through Jesus Christ.
The Bishop of Ely, who's the lead bishop on education for the Church of England, has been discussing character education. A recent discussion paper published by the National Education Office explores what character education should look like in schools. The Right Reverend Stephen Conway explained why he thinks it's important to be involved in the conversation.
I think because, as I said in my speech to the conference, The Church of England has always been interested in education, not just in opening up the opportunity of education to previously excluded children back in the 19th century, but right from then to be really involved in making the mainspring, the spiritual and moral mainspring of every child, to be alive and working. And that education is never just about facts. It's always about looking at the whole child so that we produce citizens who are not just good workers or know lots of things, but also decent neighbours and active citizens.
And what sense do you have from teachers and head teachers today about the role of character education?
I think that more and more, I think that teachers and head teachers understand that if you're engaging with children, of course their cognitive learning is very important, but what we're mostly interested in is how that cognitive learning fits with their spiritual, social and moral and emotional intelligence that creates a whole person, a person to flourish. And the key phrases that I've used and was picked up by other presenters was our strong desire that people, children and adults, should be fully alive, and that being fully alive is actually constitutes a vision of the glory of God in human beings.
This week is Christian Legacy Week, and churches are being encouraged to talk about gifts in wills. Eleanor Gill is the National Legacy Officer for the Church of England. I asked her to explain more about the week.
Christian Legacy, that's a consortium of six charities, and Christian Legacy Week is an opportunity for both Christian charities and churches to focus on this important area of giving. And it's really where we're looking to highlight the different opportunities for gifts and wills to further the mission ministry of our churches.
So what is it that you want churches and parishes to do?
Christian Legacy Week is really an opportunity to highlight this important area of giving, but also it provides an opportunity to talk about gifts and wills and the difference that they're making in our churches. So we've got a number of resources available. We've got a new film, we've got a new toolkit coming out, and that's really to help the PCC approach gifts and wills in a sort of sensitive but appropriate and gentle manner.
Is it something that you find is widely discussed in the Church of England?
It tends to be an area of giving that we do have a tendency to shy away from because of the nature of the subject, and it is a sensitive subject and it does need to be approached in the appropriate way. But there's opportunities and examples of when churches do actually start talking about gifts and wills. It's not, you know, about death and doom and gloom. It's about the living and the life opportunities that gifts and wills can offer. You know, an individual will include a gift in their will when they're alive, therefore they're their living wishes. They're only activated by death, so as Christians they are an appropriate topic that we should be talking about. But St Luke's Church in West Derby, the vicar was sometimes a bit hesitant about talking about gifts and wills, but then they were actually left an incredible legacy by a parishioner, Margaret, and they were able to reorder the church. And actually it suddenly became a very natural point of conversation, because as they were looking at the different elements of the reordering, they were thinking, well, you know, what would Margaret have thought about this? So they were looking at taking out the pews or not, and then they said, oh, well, Margaret would love that, because they were really uncomfortable. She always used to have to sit on a cushion. So as it became more about Margaret's living legacy, people became more used to hearing about the difference that gifts and will can make, and also seeing it in their church, and therefore now it's not a difficult subject to broach. It's actually one that's quite joyful.
And that's really lovely that everybody can celebrate and keep celebrating the life of that person.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a living memory, and particularly when you look at projects that are of that level, like a reordering. But then there was one church in West Yorkshire in the Dales diocese, and they had £300 and they were able to make some sort of child-sized chaucerballs and stoles, which again was great, because then children were able to come in and you know, physically learn about the sacraments. I saw one of the vicars in Wakefield last week, and she actually showed me they've made teddy versions as well for the Prayers and Bears group. So there's ways that actually you can start to see the difference that the gifts are making, and that's an opportunity to celebrate, absolutely.
And it is part of the Christian life that we should give.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just another way to give. It's just another opportunity for individuals to express their thanksgiving for a lifetime's worth of blessings. So for some, it's not an appropriate form of giving, but actually for others, they see it as a final gift towards the mission of their church. And it's a gift that they leave joyfully in a celebratory way, And something that they know that will make a difference.
So what are you offering parishes now to help them have those, as you say, sometimes difficult conversations with parishioners?
Of course. So we've got a new film out that's called Making a Lasting Difference. And we've actually got one that you could show to the congregation and one that's specifically for PCCs to sort of help facilitate the conversation around gifts and wills. And that has an introduction from Bishop of Carlisle, Bishop James. And we've also got a PCC toolkit, which has a number of resources inside it, a PCC guide, a generic leaflet, bookmark and poster, which they can make available to parishioners. And it's got some example, you know, sermon notes, biblical references, prayers that are appropriate for gifts and wills. And then we've also got contacts at the diocese, so stewardship advisors, representatives are happy to come out and speak to parishes about gifts and wills. And also I'm here in Church House. The Church Legacy and Wills information line, and that's for PCC members to call if they've got questions, or individuals who want to find out more about leaving a gift in their will. That's 08445 870 875.
And you can find out more about the resources available on the website www.churchlegacy.org.uk. The Archbishop's 11 cricket team have travelled to Rome this week ahead of a match with the Vatican 11 on Saturday. They first played each other last year in Canterbury, with the Anglican side recording a narrow win with just 5 balls to spare. The side is captained by the Reverend Steve Gray, who's chaplain at Bradfield College in Berkshire.
Basically, it was through the Diocesan Church Times Cup, and Mark Ryland's put me, well, over the years has sort of selected me, and just a privilege really to be part of it. I can say I'm long in the tooth now. So, but no, we had a Nets trials in London last year, and the team sort of started to come together through that really.
Now you've got quite a big task because you won last year, didn't you? How was that match? How did you find it?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Obviously, we won, so the pressure's on to go to Rome and complete the job. But it was great fun, and there's a great a lot of talent in the cricketing talent in the team, and we get on really well. So it'll be a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll enjoy it most of all. But
How are you able to practice? Because it must be quite difficult getting everyone together.
Yeah, it's a real logistic actually, but. In the summer we had one game against a side called the Authors, which was a lot of fun, but we've all been sort of spread eagle all over everywhere, so we haven't really come together till now, so hopefully bit by bit. And boys have been playing their own club cricket, which has been good, so they've kept in touch. But yeah, it's just bringing it all together. We've only got one practice game in Rome before the game with the Vatican. So.
And how are you feeling about the game at the Vatican?
Yeah, well, really excited. I really am. And we all got on so well last year with the Vatican, a great bunch of lads. And obviously there's an edge to win. But, the great thing for relations with the Catholic Church is good. And no, it's a great sort of message and story.
Does it feel strange playing on a side that are all sort of from a church background? Does that give you a different edge to just playing for another cricket club?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it is strange, but it's lovely to actually, have sort of fellowship with each other and, realise the common sporting interest and, that the church can actually provide a really decent group of sportsmen to compete in a pretty good standard really, so that's heartening. And it's opportunities, potential for going into other places perhaps with other faith groups as well. It's a great message of hope and reconciliation really.
So when you go out at the end of the month, what are you looking forward to most?
A lot of them are looking forward to the great food and wine, but just the whole experience, I think. And we got Mass with the Pope. That's a massive thing on the Sunday, we're privileged to be there for that. But generally, the experience of a lifetime, I think, and what we can do for ecumenism at the same time, and just build relations in this very enjoyable way, is a real privilege and will be a great pleasure.
And keep an eye on the Lambeth Palace Twitter feed for details of Saturday's match. That's it for this week's podcast. I'm Gillian Moody. Thanks for listening.